from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors during the Trump administration, and he's a distinguished visiting fellow at Hoover Institution. And he has a great book out. It's called The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. I call it the most important book of the 21st century, and I'm not kidding, Stopping the Slide to America's Socialism. Holy cow. Anyway, Kevin, let's talk about the debt business for a second. So Janet Yellen says we're going to run out of money June 1st. Whether it's June 1st or June 7th, it does look like we're coming to the end game, and they've got to do something about it. We'll talk about Kevin McCarthy's plan. But I've been quoting, I want to see what you think. I've been quoting the Wall Street Journal, Greg Ip. You know Greg.
He's a good guy.
He's a straight shooter. He wrote a piece saying a debt deal could help solve the country's inflation problem. Spending cuts could prompt the Fed to cut interest rates sooner, easing some of the pressure on banks. So without being precise, but the point is less spending does lead to lower inflation. At some point, it could mean either the Fed, you know, can stop raising rates or maybe bring them down. That would take some of the pressure off banks. In other words, it's eminently reasonable that we should solve this debt. And I want to add to that, Kevin, maybe a surprise, but Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader of the Senate, who unfortunately voted for the omnibus spending bill last year, he's saying there isn't going to be a debt solution without budget reforms, referring to Kevin McCarthy. So what do you make of this story?
Right. Well, you know, it's also like the thing to add to it is that, you know, Biden probably wants to be reelected. We know he's running. And so, you know, an economy that's, you know, at least just struggling with high inflation is not a good thing for him. And so he should want to, you know, reduce aggregate demand and, you know, take the pressure off inflation. You know, the way to think about it, too, is just like if the government says we're going to spend a lot more money, then prices go up because there's all that spending unless supply goes up a lot. Mm-hmm. And so since Biden has been attacking supply and feeding demand, he's been feeding inflation. And so, you know, I have no confidence that he's going to do any supply side things.
Right.
But he can reduce demand by cutting government spending. And government spending basically is just about at the peak level from COVID. So it hasn't gone back to normal. There's lots of room to cut to go back to normal. And if he does, then he's actually going to help the economy that he wants to be strong when he runs for president.
So why doesn't he do it, Kevin?
I think he
checks in with you constantly.
Sure.
Why doesn't he do it?
I think he will cave in the end a little bit. That's what I think.
You think
so he'll cave because it's actually the right thing to do. But the other reason that he'll cave is actually a sort of more interesting thing to me, just like as a political matter, which is that something that the Republicans could do that Mitch McConnell's a genius at is, you know, and you and I disagreed about this on TV a little bit when we talked about it. But, you know, they could just lift the debt limit a month at a time for the rest of the year. And if they do, then they're going to eat up all the Senate floor time for the rest of the year on the debt limit. And so they're not going to get any judges confirmed or anything else. And so you know, as far as Republicans are concerned, they want to slow down like the Democrats and their attempts to stack the, you know, appointees with people that we don't like. And so if they drag the debt limit fight out by extending it a little bit at a time, then they can basically gridlock the Senate for the rest of the year almost. And so I think that in the end, this is a problem that the Democrats want to go away more than the Republicans do.
Well, you need 10 votes to get it through the Senate. You need 10 Democrats. I mean, 60 votes is necessary. But Biden's out there now, and this is predictable, saying how the McCarthy plan is going to destroy this program and that program and veterans and this. By the way, Kevin, as you know, what Biden is doing is putting a 1% growth cap. The budgets are still going to go up. They're just going to. There's just a speed limit, and Joe Biden doesn't want to. He doesn't want to abide. He's got a heavy foot. He doesn't want to abide by the speed limit. I mean, I think that, you know, to clarify that, the budget will still rise. These programs, which have gone up astronomically, are still going to go up just at a slower speed.
Right, right. Now the one thing, like, to that Biden might respond to that is that since inflation is high, and of course it's their fault that inflation's high, but since inflation is high, then, you know, you've got to increase, you know, Social Security benefits by inflation, and that's a big number. And so that if you constrain the overall growth, there's some things that are automatically adjusted for inflation that are pretty big, like Social Security, and of course Medicare is going to go up with inflation too. And so if everything else is going to average out to going up 1% a year, then there's going to have to be some cuts.
Well,
it seems to me.
So
that would be their argument.
I would say, titch, what a pity. I mean, discretionary, after what we've done in the last couple of years, it's okay by me. It's okay by you.
Of course, yeah.
So what about they're going to oppose work requirements? And I don't think, you know, that's another one. That 80% of the public, the polling is so clear on this, Kevin. People love work requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Biden hates them.
Yeah, I really just don't understand sometimes where they're coming from. But you know, again, if you put in a work requirement, then there'll be more people, like, leaving their basements, especially, like, it's something that it's in the literature, right? There's sort of recent college grads are hanging out in the basement playing video games instead of getting a job, right? And so if you send those kids out into the labor force, then they're going to put downward pressure on wages. They'll put down upward pressure on supply because you got more workers. It would help the Fed fight inflation. And so they could oppose it, I suppose, but I'm not really sure for what reason.
I mean,
other than you think that if they just have, like, all these people dependent on government, then they're always going to vote Democrat. Maybe that's the reason. But it's a foolish of them.
I mean, I think people are pretty fed up with inflation and, you know, overspending and overborrowing. I mean, that's what polls show. What does it mean that the government's going to run out of money? Let's assume June 1st, whether that's true or not. You know, as you said on the show, it could be June 7th, whatever. What does that mean? Tell us.
What's going to happen if they actually did run out of money, which I think is almost the zero probability. But if they did, then what would happen would be that all of a sudden they don't have the money to pay government workers. They don't have the money to pay interest on the debt. So they'll just stop cutting checks. But the checks don't go to zero. It's just that they can't borrow. Mm-hmm. And so if it turns out that there's a lot of tax revenue comes in that week, then they might be able to, like, write all the checks that week, because you basically have to have a balanced budget, right? But you have to have a balanced budget in continuous time, because, you know, if you have a lot of spending on Tuesday but no revenue came in on Tuesday, then you would have to borrow to make the payments. And so what's going to happen is that the government would pay some stuff, not pay other stuff. And there'd be some days where they pay everything and some days where they don't. And the place where it would have the biggest effect, of course, is in financial markets, where if they're not making interest payments on the debt, then that's technically what default is.
But there's always revenues to pay the interest.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to prioritize interest over other type. That was something.
Oh, that's right. You talked about that. You said there's a law against that.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
This was before you got to the White House, but when we were, and I checked with your good friend, who's younger than both of us, and so his memory is precise, Tyler Goodspeed. He remembers it. He remembers it the way I remember it, which is that we asked the Office of Legal Counsel. It was one of the, you know, places where we get legal advice in the White House. Are you allowed to prioritize? And they came back and sent us a memo that said no, that you have to that you have to pay things. And it's a separation of powers thing. Like, Congress tells us how to spend the money, and we have to spend the money the way Congress tells us to. And so what that means is that all the bills that come out on Tuesday, you pay them. And if there's some you don't pay on Tuesday, then those are the first in line on Wednesday. And so it is pretty hard to focus just on interest payments. Now, you could sort of maybe say, okay, all the interest payments on Tuesday are the first thing I pay, but I still think that you run the risk of missing a payment that really does set off a kind of financial panic.
Well, one thing, though, I was thinking Yellen maybe had done us a favor inadvertently, because if she says we're going to run out of money June 1, whether that's exactly true or not, it will force action. I mean, it could induce some panic in Washington that they're going to have to start their so-called last-minute negotiations. So that would be a good thing.
Right. You know, I'm sure that they're going to play chicken right up to the very end. But it's very irresponsible. You know, Biden has, when he was in Obama's White House, he worked out a pretty reasonable deal of a dollar increase in the debt limit for a dollar cut in spending. And there were real cuts. You know, in some sense, more aggressive than what McCarthy's talking about. And so for him to just, you know, avoid negotiation and take a position that McCarthy's got like some kind of unprecedented irresponsibility, which is what they keep saying, it's just a lie. It's just not true. This is what always happens with the debt limit. And you know, I really, you know, our friend Stan Druckenmiller came out, and I don't know if you saw, saw his interview, but but he said basically what you and I have been saying all along, which is, you know, it seems like because we're talking so much about the debt limit, we're not talking about the fact that the U.S. is, you know, has spent so much money that we're on a path to default. And we've got really big long-run problems, and we need to address them, and the debt limit is a distraction. And it's not a distraction if you do what McCarthy says in the sense that it helps you make progress.
Well, Stanley said, you know, years ago, Stanley said if you paid the bond interest 10 days later, but you got for that some serious spending cuts, he'd be for it. Not that he's for that, but if it came to it, and I understand what he's saying. The spending problem is more important than this immediate debt ceiling business. And anything you can do to deal with the spending problem. I mean, McCarthy's got a 1% limit on spending for 10 years, discretionary spending for 10 years. I mean, that's a start, Kevin, right? I mean, that's what Greg Ipp is referring to. It's a good start. It ain't perfect, but they got to do something. They can't do it. I mean, both parties have to look at this. It's a wake-up call, it seems to me.
Right, and the thing is, and this is something, there was a Washington Post article. It made me think of old times. It was sort of attacking me that came out this week because I've been sort of advocating McCarthy's point of view. But, you know, I mean, the fact is that when you and I were in the White House and we were like engaging in like the design of COVID relief packages, for sure, there was deficit spending. But, you know, I think that we always expected that the economy would get back to normal and then, you know, the spending would go back to normal. And then like the Post said, well, you know, the Trump administration added all this debt, so they clearly don't care about debt. And so now that they do, they're just, you know, being political and not, you know, truthful or something is basically about what the Post said about me. But the fact is that that debt that we added during COVID, the interest rate was like zero, right? And so that the carrying cost for it was not a serious threat to the economy. But this year, interest payments on the debt are going to be bigger than defense spending. This year, you know, and this year, interest payments on the debt likely are going to be bigger than Medicare spending. And you know, in 2 years, they're going to be bigger than Social Security spending. And so the problem is just not only that we have $32 trillion in debt, but also that the interest rate is, you know, really 5%, and it's going to stay there. You saw the average hourly earnings in the employment report this week, right? It said that wage inflation right now is running at about 6% annual rate. And so the Fed's going to have to keep lifting rates. And so, you know, 5% of $32 trillion is $1.6 trillion a year in interest payments, right? So if the yield curve were flat at 5%, then you're looking at $1.6 trillion a year in interest payments. You know, and so you got to do something about that. The government will have to stop providing all services except for, you know, mailing checks to the Chinese if they don't get that under control.
Was it you that sent me the Peterson?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. I mean, that was a scary piece, the Peterson Institute. The interest expense problem is going to go on. I mean, it's going to keep getting worse.
And there's also our other close friend, John Cochran.
Right.
Who, like, he has this whole book about, like, where inflation comes from that's really become quite a sensation. But his point is that there's two things you could do when you have a massive amount of debt. And, you know, one thing is that you can, you know, reduce spending cut deficits, maybe even run surpluses, because that's what you have to do to run the debt down, right? And if people believe that you're going to do that, then there's like some hope that there'll be a market for your debt. But if people are confident that you're not going to do that, then they're just going to want to stop. They're going to stop wanting to hold your debt. And the, you know, basically, because the belief will be that you're going to inflate it away at some point because you're not responsible.
Hang on, Kevin Love. Let me just take a quick break. And then we'll come back. We'll continue this. I want to ask you a little bit. Just hang on, quick break. Folks, we're talking to the great Kevin Hassett, former chair of the Council of Economic Advisors. He's out at Hoover Institute. He's got a great book out called The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. I call it the most important book of the 21st century. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show. From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Just for a minute or two, the jobs report is being reported as this big 253,000, but the prior 2 months were revised lower by a combined 150,000. So actually, the April number was really only just over 100,000. And I'm wondering whether this doesn't show weakness rather than strength.
Yeah, I mean, you taught me this. When we're looking at the jobs report, if you want to like estimate the recent trend, what you do is you take the 3 month moving average. About, you know, it just sort of smooths through the blips up and the blips down, and that tells you what the recent trend is. And it's another example of like the economic fact checkers failing at the White House, because Biden came out, you know, bragging about this like terrific jobs report. But the downward revisions stretched all the way back to September, and they were massive. And so if you look, if you estimate like the recent trend, then the 3 month moving average has gone from like around 280,000 job creation to about 210. And so therefore there's like a downtrend in what's going on in the job market. And Biden came out and said the opposite. He said that things are trending up. And that's just like another example of them being, shall we say, factually challenged. But for me, the big news is that the average hourly earnings were so high, which is, it's good news when wages are high, but it also means inflation stays high. And so the Fed looked at that job report and they said, we got more work to do. Yeah. And so they're going to raise at the next meeting too. You know, and that's something the market's a little unsure about right now. But they're going to have to, because inflation is out of control. And it's going to stay out of control unless we get ahead of the curve on spending.
Well, that's right?
I mean, the Fed can't do it itself.
Right. The two should work together, but they're not.
Right.
And I don't know why Jay Powell – I mean, I don't want Jay Powell to get all political and stuff. But Jay Powell could – like Jay Powell could have said what Greg Ip wrote. Without mentioning Kevin McCarthy or Republicans or Democrats, Jay Powell could have said what Greg Ip wrote, and that spending cuts would take the pressure off the Fed's interest rate hikes and inflation.
Right. And you got to remember that Alan Greenspan did that over and over. Ben Bernanke did that over and over. Volcker did it.
Yes.
So it's a very common thing out of the playbook. Janet Yellen didn't do it because she was in a time where maybe it didn't look so bad with the interest rates being zero, and also because she is a real Keynesian. And so she wants the government to spend lots of money.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, the fact is that Jay wants to lick inflation. I think he's shown that he's serious about it. You know, he started late, but he's serious about it now. And so therefore he needs to start to browbeat the you know, Congress into cutting spending, just like Greenspan did and Bernanke did.
The next couple weeks will be crucial on this. The next couple of weeks, Powell can make utterances and, you know, and I don't know, they're meeting on Tuesday. We'll see what comes of that. Anyway, thank you, Kevin Hassett. We appreciate it very, very much. Folks, go out and buy his book called The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism's Most Important Book of the 21st Century. I'm Kudlow. We're going to take a quick break. And the other side of the break, we're going to talk more about the jobs and the economy and declining real wages with Joe Livornia, former National Economic Council head economist. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.